This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Tonight, Suns, Bucks. Hear all the games right here on 98.7 ESPN New York, and a part of all the action will be PJ Carlissimo joins us here on the Cage Show. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg. We're K-less today, PJ. I hope that's okay.
Okay, it's desirable. That's very, very good.
See, there you go. There
you go. That's a little Fordham shot. We got to fire a Fordham shot in every once in a while. I'm half of Mike Breen, that is.
PJ, how important is it? Obviously, we know he's the best player on this team, but can Milwaukee survive this series if they don't get Giannis back tonight?
Oh, yeah, for sure. First games are, to me, are always feeling out games, particularly finals are different than the regular first three rounds because you don't have the familiarity. Now, again, this is a skewed year. You got some significant additions to both teams, but just in general, Phoenix knows the teams they played in the first three rounds much better than they know Milwaukee and vice versa. So oftentimes in the finals, all playoff series, but especially in the finals, it's a feeling out game. You know, they don't know them as well, even though you only played each other three times in your own conference this year. Still, the familiarity is not the same. So we always considered game one kind of a feel out game. And then obviously it changes dramatically. If Phoenix wins, the pressure's on Milwaukee to get the split. You don't want to go down 2-0. If it goes the other way, enormous pressure on Phoenix. So I look at it as a feel-out game. If Giannis can't play, is it big? Yeah, it's big, but I don't think it's deciding. I don't even think if Giannis doesn't play, Milwaukee's not capable of winning the game. They can still win the game, I think, without Giannis. But obviously, the more games Giannis misses, if indeed he does misses, the bigger impact that's going to have on the series.
Now, if you think you can't win the series without him, would you hold him out early, PJ, and not get him more hurt or try to rest him for later on if you believe you can at least get game one or two without him?
I'd roll the dice in game one. I wouldn't roll the dice in game two. We lose game one, I'm not going to roll the dice and say, well, let's just go down and get two right. games to 0. We know they're coming to our place. 2-0 is tough. I mean, you don't look at it that way. I mean, you kind of wrap your head around it's one game at a time. I know that sounds like a cliche, but if you get out 2-0 and start thinking, we got to win four of the next five, you got no chance. I mean, you just got to win a game to change the whole thing. You know, like the narrative changes so dramatically. Like when it's 2-0 and, the other team wins game three, 2-1, you say, wow, it's a whole different series now. It's changed completely. I would roll the dice maybe in game one, definitely not in game two, but it's going to be a medical one. I don't want to second guess, but like it's easy to look back and say, man, I don't know if Trae Young helped or hurt Atlanta in game six. I don't know if James Harden in games, 5, 6, and 7, did he help or hurt Brooklyn? He probably helped, but I don't know. So this bringing guys back early is a dangerous thing. And for whatever bizarre reason in the playoffs this year, it seems every time these guys we're talking about are franchise players or like among the two or three best players that the team has. So they're not going to mess around with Giannis. I mean, even in the finals right now, if they're really concerned with long-term effects or something to this injury, they're just going to say, hey, guys, it's more important that this guy's healthy than even that we win these finals.
So that answers.
I just think. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Excuse me.
No. Please. I'm sorry. That answers my question. Then, so if you're coaching this team and he's on the line, he says, "Coach, I'm good." You're watching him and saying, "I don't know that you're all the way good." At this point, game one, since it's a feeling out game anyway, you give him the extra 2 days and try to get him for game two.
I would. That's me. But again, I'm talking to you guys on the phone. I'm not coaching. I'm not coaching any teams right now. But I think so for sure. And I just think when you look back at what's happened through this playoffs with all these injuries, James, maybe that first game he came back was really an impact. Remember the Brooklyn guys kept going out of their way to say, even though his stats weren't good, it made such a huge difference. him coming back. If I'm remembering correctly, it was game five when Kevin played out of his mind and they won the game anyhow. They lost the next two games. I think Milwaukee won game six and seven. You know, so James coming back, you know, you say, well, we weren't going to win without James anyhow, perhaps, but, you know, a guy that good that was playing damaged, and Trae Young the other night playing damaged, you really got to wonder. And he had the opposite. It wasn't, I don't know that it was a decision for Milwaukee. They played without Giannis, and they won twice, you know, without him at all. And you had Bobby Portis stepping up. You had Brooks stepping up. You had, you know, a lot of guys played well. But sometimes the healthier guy is just a better option.
You know, PJ, you're a big sports fan, right? So when you look at the greats of other sports, remember when Clemens came to the Yankees, he wanted to get that ring. You know, Ray Bourque going to Colorado, yep, to finally get that ring. Elway chasing after that ring towards the end of his career. Is it at that level with Chris Paul? Will it make that much of a difference?
It'll make a difference just because people are fond of saying that. I mean, you say that against some of the greatest guys that ever – one of the best point guards, I think, without question in the history of the NBA, top three, four, take your pick, is John Stockton. They always put on Stock and Carl, yeah, but they didn't win a championship. That's, you know, a little unfair. What they don't put on them, because they can't, is they never got the finals. They got to two, I believe. I think it's almost as significant for CP to be in a finals, to be in an NBA finals, as it is to win. It would be great to win, but you're still talking one of the best all-around, you know, point guards in the history of the game. Would absolutely enhance, you know, his CV. But in my opinion, he's going into Hall of Fame either way. It would be a significant step. And I think he would really, well, there's no question. That's what you play for in the NBA. You know, as much as people say that, you guys are in New York, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everybody in the beginning of the year goes, our goal is to win a championship. And every franchise says, our goal is to do that. It's different in basketball in New York, in Boston, in L.A. They got a whole bunch of banners hanging. And if they don't win a championship, it wasn't a good year. You know, for some other franchises, it's not quite the same. Phoenix is, you know, for Phoenix and Milwaukee, they look at it a little bit differently. It was a while ago, but Milwaukee, you know, Milwaukee hung a banner. Phoenix has never done that. So I think it's all those things enter in terms of how you look at the franchise and the team. But the immediate team, it's not that way. I mean, those guys in those two locker rooms want to win for themselves, not selfishly, because that, you know, that's the kind of year they've had, and they want to get rings for themselves. They want to win the championship for themselves, and then you can step back and talk about, you know, my careers and what this means to the franchise. But that's all out the window. These guys are trying to win for themselves, and they should be.
Are you someone who's excited by the fact that this year features two teams, you know, for lack of a better word, two random teams? Or are you going to miss out on the fact that we don't have a Golden State, a LeBron, James-led team, et cetera, in this year's finals?
No, totally ambivalent. I think they're champions. It doesn't matter to me at all. I think it's great. You know, it's an NBA championship in a year that was arguably as tough as any year to win a championship. I think it's great the way it's worked out. You've got two teams that one, Phoenix, that got there a lot quicker, I think, than anybody thought was possible. And Milwaukee, it's kind of the culmination of 3 years. You know, for 2 years, they had the best record in the league, two straight years, and they didn't get it done in the playoffs. Now they're there. They certainly deserve to be there. You know, they've led the league in scoring 3 years in a row. So I think there's great stories here, and I think it's a great, great championship. You know, too bad the other guys aren't there. They're all not there for different reasons, but Ultimately they're not there because they didn't win. These guys won.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
PJ Carlissimo, part of our coverage of the NBA Finals here on 98.7 ESPN New York. You brought up the injuries. We have a tendency nowadays, PJ, to overreact, to try to change and correct things. If you're the NBA, if you're running a team, are you just saying this is just one of those years? Was it a mistake to play as many games as they played in the pandemic? Or do you see a possibility of seeing even more load management during the regular season? How do you think NBA executives will react to avoiding these types of injuries in the future?
Well, we're going to see more load management. There's no question about that. I mean, I remember when I first got in the league, which I think was 94, you had a trainer. If you were lucky, in the next couple of years, you had an assistant trainer. But all of us traveled with a trainer and equipment manager, if you were lucky, two assistant coaches. Now, when you know the charter lands and guys get off the charter, there are so many. There's nutrition people. There's load management people. There's medical people. There's rehab people. They're all going to get together. They're going to look at it. I don't know that the league is going to overreact because this was bizarre. You're coming out of the bubble. You had the shortest preseason ever. Even though this is not going to be as long a preseason as normal. I don't think the league overreacts as much as the teams may and probably should. But I think you're going to see more load management on the various teams next year, especially, of course, with the elite players. And unfortunately, a lot of these injuries have been to the elite players. It's going to happen to the guys that play 35 and 37 minutes. It's more apt to happen to them than the other guys who don't play as much. And this has been a tough, not just year, it's been a tough 2 years. When you combine the bubble with this season, it's really hard to evaluate it. You would think the pendulum's going to swing back the other way, but, you know, I would still expect an 82-game season. I still expect the league to start when they normally start. And then hopefully things kind of come back to center a little bit next year in terms of the injuries.
Do you think Chris Middleton's one of the most underrated players in basketball?
I don't think he's underrated because I think if you ask anybody how good any basketball person, mm-hmm. you know, player, coach, exec, how good he is, they know how good he is. He may be a little underappreciated. I just think, if I'm not mistaken, he may not have even made the All-Star game this year, but he's been in the All-Star game a couple of times if he was or wasn't this year. I mean, he was on the national team in China last year. He's not going to be on the Olympic team this year. I think in the last couple of years, what he's done, I think people realize how good he is. I'll tell you what's underappreciated. Those three quarters that he's had, two in the conference finals, and I forget which, the other one I think was against Brooklyn. He's had three quarters that are three of the most amazing quarters in NBA playoff history in terms of just like taking a game completely under his own control and you know, basically delivering the win for his team. But I think he's not a flashy guy. I mean, yes, he shoots threes. He can go to the basket. He makes his free throws. He's a better defender than people give him credit for. I think people know how good he is, but I think he's, you know, he's knocking on the door now of all NBA, which probably would surprise a lot of people. But, he's now a guy, when you talk about all NBA players, he deserves to be in the conversation. And part of that is because of what he's done this year. Part of that, you know, I mean, players are still judged, I think, to a large degree, and I think it's fair. I used to say April, May, June. This year it's May, June, July. It's what you do then, you know, what you do in the playoffs. And he's answered that question. If you wanted to say, well, he wasn't that good a playoff player before this year, fine. No one's saying that anymore. And again, the finals, unfortunately, are going to color for somebody. I don't know who it is, but, you know, one of the great players will have a mediocre or subpar finals, and everybody's going to go, he didn't deliver in the finals. I mean, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that's the way it is. But the opportunity also is to play, you know, great or out of his mind, and people say, wow, he helped win a championship for Phoenix or for Milwaukee. And I think that's where Chris is right now.
I just think the Bucks are such a funny team because they're borderline perennially great now, right? Like, it's been several years of them being a great team. And
three in a row, they're you know, two times the best record in the league.
Right.
This year, very, very good. They didn't have the best record, but very, very
but,
good.
But everyone knew they were in the conversation. And yet, even with Giannis, it seems like everyone can't wait for the opportunity to knock him down a peg and say, oh, see, Giannis is good. But when he's up against Durant, everyone says, oh, Durant, now that's a real star. Giannis comes back immediately afterward, drops 40 points in a critical game. I just think it's funny that this Bucks team, for as good as they've been over the last few years, I don't feel like until they win a championship, it seems like the mainstream public is not willing to consider them as great as they appear to be.
I think that's true, but I think they're a step and a half toward the, you know, delivering it this year. They've gotten to the finals. They've gotten to the finals in kind of a – and, again, people forget. I know the injuries, and you can't take the injuries away. I remember when it was 2-0 after Brooklyn, and James was already hurt when it was 2-0, and it was like, no way are they coming back against this team. And even when it was 3-2 after KD's monster game 5, it's over. After game 6, they won. Good, but they're not going to win in Brooklyn. They've answered a lot of questions this year. I really think that, and I think that's helped them a lot. Nothing would shut a lot of us up more than hanging another banner. They win it. End of the discussion. How good is Giannis? How good is Chris Middleton? How good is Drew Holiday? They were the best in the league, and you know, end of discussion. Let's go forward. Can they win another one? So it's unfair, but that's, hey, this professional sports is about rings and championships. There's no question about that, and people sometimes forget that.
Yeah, especially in the NBA. PJ, we'll enjoy the coverage and enjoy the series.
Don and Peter, I appreciate it. Give my worst to Michael, please.
We will.
I will definitely pass that along. PJ Carlissimo, part of our coverage here on 98.7 ESPN New York. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. We'll have some comments off of what PJ had to say at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to Buster Olney. It's Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg on the K-Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN New York. We're K-less today, PJ. I hope that's okay.
Okay, it's desirable. That's very, very
See?
Good.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.